It's not easy living on a dying planet, but it is easy to feel overwhelmed when it comes to making changes and taking action to try and save it. Where do you start? Is it even worth it? Can you really make a difference? Welcome to the Tea on Sustainable Living podcast, where we attempt to answer these questions by spilling the tea on living sustainably in a world that's going to shit. I'm Brandy.
And I'm Hannah. And for years, we've been navigating the big, messy gray area of caring about our planet. It hasn't always been smooth sailing, but we're not giving up yet. So, brew yourself a cup of tea, get comfy, and let's try and navigate that grey area together. Hello, Give a Shitter. This is Hannah.
And this is Brandy. And you are listening to episode number 16 of the Tea on Sustainable Living podcast.
Woo!
Welcome back.
Yeah.
I was going to make a cup of tea, but I just had a cup of soup, and it's a bit too warm for soup, so I'm a bit too warm now, so I have ice water.
And I also have my bottle of water. Do we expect anything else at this point?
No, probably not.
No tea. No tea is being consumed.
But we do have some tea to talk about.
We do. It's your tea this week.
Yeah. So we'll see where the conversation ends up going. My brain dump of an idea was to talk about money and spending, consuming, because I feel like, I think you were there when it started. I've been a bit spendy lately. I think it's on a down peak, but when we were in York this summer, I don't know what came over me. I think it's just normal for me for like my spending to like come in waves.
Yeah. But you did buy a lot of stickers.
I bought a lot of stuff from The Body Shop, which is my new favorite store.
Oh, it's true.
And then I bought some things from Lush, and my Vinted use has been out of control. I think I have one more thing, and then I'm deleting the app because it's been a bit much. But it just got me thinking about spending and guilt around spending in general. Yeah. Because I've felt guilty, and then I gone back and forth on it, like, well, why do I feel guilty? Should I feel guilty? Is it bad to spend money on things you don't need?
Right. Yeah, it's interesting. You mentioned Vinted as well as something that you're feeling a bit bad about, because I feel like for you, that's kind of, you know, a way where you're like, well, I'm happy to, I'm shopping secondhand, so I feel okay about what I'm buying.
Yeah.
But yeah. There's another limit going on there. And do you think it's just kind of feeling guilt about having too much stuff, or where do you think that's coming from?
Well, first of all, for those who don't know, Vinted is a secondhand clothing app. It's like eBay, right. But it's like, it's grown from clothes to everything. Household stuff. Yeah, everything. It's just super easy. If that's the thing, it's too easy. But yeah, secondhand clothing and like food have been my I mean, I'm human. I like to buy things too, as a hobby, which started way back in high school, to make myself feel better. Out of boredom, for all sorts of reasons. But my kind of quote unquote safe zones, so to speak, have been secondhand things like Vinted or Umana or thrift stores and food, because those are areas that we need to eat and I have enough clothing, but it's just a fun thing for me. So it's all relative. But yeah, I think it's more of feeling like I should feel guilty for consuming things more than I normally do. I mean, with Vinted, that brings up a separate thing of all the packaging that comes with it. And I tend to look for local stuff. People who are nearby, so it's not traveling as far. And then I try to deconstruct the packaging as best I can and recycle what can be recycled. Mm-hmm. But I think it's a bit excessive. But yeah,
how many vintage packages are we talking about, Brandy?
We don't need to talk about that. But no, it just got me thinking of I have the money, I'm not in debt. And I'm buying things I want. So is that bad? And I jotted down my thoughts, or do I just feel like I should feel bad because there's this pressure that comes with, caring about the planet that I shouldn't consume unless I absolutely need to?
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting.
I don't know. Have you ever felt like guilty about spending, or like what's your general?
Yeah, for sure. I think as well, I definitely go through phases. I guess, especially probably with clothes, where I don't buy anything for months. And then I'll just be like, ah, and buy like 4 or 5 things at once. And then like, that's it. And that feels excessive to me. But you know, it's hard. I guess who are you comparing yourself with? And, and yeah, recently, actually, I just had that thing. And I actually went to Vinted because I was like, okay, I know about Vinted now. So I'm going to like buy my like, you know, 5 new dresses that, you know, I don't really need through Vinted. And I do feel better about that than having like, you know, buying new for sure. I definitely felt that felt better. But it's also true. I look in my closet and I'm like, I have so much stuff and I don't need this much stuff. And there is that element of, okay, it's secondhand, or even when it's not, because I definitely also buy things new. And I, you know, got a dress from Primark the other day. Like, I'm also not always just buying new from more ethical brands. I'm also buying from, you know, quote unquote fast fashion brands. But where is I going with this? I got lost.
Buying things you don't need to, even if it's on
business. Right. Or... And even secondhand, that is still, you know, that's still contributing to this mindset that we have like unending resources, and that it's okay to get whatever we want.
Mm.
Which I feel kind of bad saying that, because I also don't like putting restrictions and saying like, oh no, you shouldn't do that.
Mm-hmm.
But there is a limit.
Mm-hmm.
And also we're talking, you know, this whole thing is coming from we're both from very wealthy countries and live in a very wealthy country. Mm-hmm. There is no way, you know, the world can't sustain how a small proportion of the world's population is living now.
Mm-hmm.
If everyone lived like this, then I mean, it's impossible.
Mm-hmm.
But also then, who am I to say? That's also bigger questions, right? Who am I to say to someone, well, no, you can't live like me,
right?
Because it's not sustainable.
Right.
I mean,
yeah, I think I have a tendency of, when it comes to consuming, of like ping-ponging between like one extreme and the other, like the black and white, if you will, and just bypassing the gray altogether. Because I think with the buying secondhand, I think this is why greenwashing is so successful, because it removes like the guilt, like, oh, I'm buying secondhand, mm-hmm. so it's fine. I can just consume. I think I'm in need of like a recalibration, like, because just because something is secondhand, it doesn't mm-hmm. mean that there's no risk of overconsuming. Because right. my closet's full too. I have all the clothes I need. I'm buying out of, want. I don't know, what am I buying? Want, enjoyment, boredom. Like, mm-hmm. like having this app on my phone, once this last package arrives, I need to delete it because it's too easy. It's like I make the rounds between, you know, like Instagram and Facebook yeah. and, oh, let me go on Vinted without right. a specific purpose. And I think I started going on it for a specific purpose, looking for a specific item that I couldn't find in the mm-hmm. secondhand shops locally, because there is a lot more selection on it. So
yeah,
I've like removed all the barriers, and it's just become like a, I don't know, like, what do they say? Like notifications on social media. It's like a slot machine. It's like you get that like rush mm-hmm. of adrenaline. It's like, oh, well, let me see what else I can find. Well, wait a minute. Right. Like, I don't need it. I don't even necessarily yeah. want in that moment. It's like become a habit, because I think I've removed too many barriers and forgotten that it's all relative. It's not like, I don't know, I reference all the time, recycling is a good place to start, bad place to stop. Mm-hmm. So it's not, okay, I'm buying secondhand. Let me remove all mm-hmm. thoughts on why I'm consuming, if that makes sense.
Right. Do you think there is something negative, or that the impact of being able to consume kind of endlessly, does that have a negative impact on us as people, or as you, on you as a person. Mm-hmm. Let's be more specific.
I think it, I mean, it's a time thing too. Like, it's, mm-hmm. I'm spending all this time browsing on an app for things I don't need when I could be taking a walk, reading a book, mm-hmm. You know, doing other creative things.
Right.
Because one thing I hear people say in response to overconsuming is to create more than you consume.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting. And I guess there is that, you know, as obviously I feel like I have less limits on what I can do now as an adult with my own income that's only for me, that when I think back to, for example, being a teenager or when I haven't been working, I'd be much more creative in some in some ways, because there's a kind of a limit there that that forces you to be like, okay, I actually can't buy the exact dress that I want. Mm-hmm. So like, how can I style it? Or how can I, you know, change it, or or whatever that solution might be.
Yeah, I think limits can definitely breed creativity.
Mm-hmm. You know, we just are so, even if we're buying secondhand and we're consuming in a way that feels more ethical to us, or as you, and there's like, I don't know, it just, I'm not sure it's healthy.
Yeah, I feel like, I mean, like I said, I feel like I'm a bit on the down peak. I don't know how to say it. Like, I'm consuming less, like that wave mm-hmm. is subsiding, but I feel like it was less of like me wanting to consume things. And I feel like it kind of like took over. Like, I just got comfortable with it.
Right.
And when you were talking, I thought about like, oh, this is why lifestyle inflation happens. I don't know if that's the right term. You make more, mm-hmm. you just spend more. Like, you don't end up saving more because you just like fill that void. That doesn't really make sense. But you just like, you fill the space. Right. Like, you fill the space you're in, the size of your home, the more money you make, you just find things to spend the money on.
Mm-hmm.
Because of like the society we live in and the capitalist nature of it all, mm-hmm. you know, it is too easy to, I was gonna say be a cog in the wheel, but I don't think that's what I meant. It's so easy to just get swept up into like how everybody else is doing things, because that's kind of the system we're in.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. And I don't know, it can be quite hard to make all the different elements tangible, right? Especially the more you earn, frankly, because money kind of creates that disconnect between what you've done to earn that money and what you're buying with it.
Mm.
You know, like, is this thing worth the 8 hours that I spent on it? And again, I think that's harder to kind of maintain that. Well, I don't know. Maybe that's just a mindset thing. You just have to keep. I'm not being very clear. I guess what I want to say is, like, when I was earning more on like an hourly wage, or which tend to be when you're earning, you're on a lower salary, although not necessarily, it depends on the industry as well. It was more like, okay, this literally cost me like 3 hours of work in a restaurant. Do I want to pay that? Whereas when you're kind of on a monthly salary or on a fixed salary, I think it's harder to keep that in mind.
Yeah, I've definitely heard that as like advice for, I think it was when I was like getting out of debt, consumer debt, mm-hmm. and school loans, of thinking about the money. Yeah, in terms of hours worked to get there.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, that does help, is like a good perspective shift, because it's not just this, you know, swipe of a card or handing over some paper bills. It's thinking about it in terms of like what you did to earn the money.
Right.
The idea of like, yeah, making it a bit harder to part with, but.
And do you think, for example, when you went on this most recent, your recent.
Spending spree, I guess.
Spending spree. Can you, other than getting comfortable with it, can you identify certain things that maybe kind of triggered it a little bit? Was it that, okay, I'm on holiday, so, you know, I deserve to enjoy, or, you're buying for someone else, or like, what can you kind of, are there any trigger points where you think, oh, that maybe was why I started off on that spending spree?
Yeah, I was just thinking about that. Yeah, definitely the aspect of like being on holiday, like, I'm free to like do whatever I want whenever I want. And yeah, the mix of like buying things for myself just because I wanted to, buying things for other people because I find enjoyment in that as well. And then I think it just like carried over.
Right. Yeah. And it is that element of like what is kind of socially bound up in the consumerism. What is the emotion we're like, you know, trying to attain? And like, I definitely know I was like, just had a breakup. So I was like buying clothes because I was like, oh, I want to feel good. Right. You know, that was like part of it. And like, oh, okay, I'm going to go out and I'm not going to wear something I've already got. I want to wear something new because I want to feel like nice about myself.
Yeah. And is that bad to buy something to make yourself feel better?
I don't think like it's
a big bad. Gray area.
It is a gray area, but it's like, you know, fundamentally, the only reason I can do this is because the world is inequitable.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm one of the lucky ones who's not making the clothes, but who's buying the clothes.
Mm-hmm.
And if I had chosen a more, it's hard, isn't it? But like, if I'd have chosen the more equitable route of buying those clothes to make myself feel good, I would have maybe bought one thing because I would have been buying from a more sustainable fashion brand that would have been more expensive. Mm-hmm. And then that's what I could have afforded. I couldn't have afforded to just go and buy five things. I think that's where I'm like, oof.
I mean, I think we're both,
I don't know,
kind of products of the societies we've grown up in, is that we, like, our whole lives have been not even told directly, but like advertised to, and like, you buy this thing to solve this problem, whatever it is, whether it is boredom or sadness, whatever it is. And then, so of course we're like wired to like want more of that, because we do, I think, get that like adrenaline rush of a purchase. It's like, how it's like, relate everything to food. It's like why we crave, you know, excess salt, oil, and sugar, because that used to mean our survival. But now, you know, like our bodies, our humans haven't really caught up. So we're still like hardwired to like want more of that.
Mm-hmm.
Even though that now means, you know, lifestyle diseases, et cetera. So I think it's difficult to get out of like, it's like consumerist trap or cycle, because we're constantly told, sold to, advertised that more is the answer.
Right. Yeah. It's...
So that's why I feel like I need like a recalibration and to reprioritize. Okay. Why am I buying things? What can I do instead? What barriers can I put in place?
Yes.
But ultimately, no, I don't think it's inherently bad to buy something because you want to feel better or to avoid boredom. I mean, obviously it depends on your individual situation and whether you are in debt and whether that's making other things worse. But for me personally, I don't think it's inherently bad. I just feel like it's gotten a little bit out of control.
Yeah.
Because you have like savings goals that I could be working towards more.
Right. I guess it's that having you know, lots of different things in the bag for dealing with a situation. It's like, okay, and which ones are the most appropriate? Like, okay, I'm bored, so I'm going to scroll, and that might be through Instagram or that might be through Vinted, and then I might buy. But then also, you know, maybe I have other things that I want to have nearby that I could work on when I'm bored. Just a bit more effort.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, but often pays off more.
Right.
Because when you buy like a physical thing, even a secondhand item, like you get that little rush.
Mm-hmm.
But I know there are a lot of studies that say like the wanting of an item brings you more joy, pleasure than the actual buying of it.
And how do you Do you find that? Because I know you're, when you're in your kind of settled spending periods, that you, you know, you've told me that you'll have like on Vintage, you'll have like notifications for certain items that you're specifically looking for. Do you find that that gives you more satisfaction when you've been kind of looking for something for a while and you're like, oh, there it is?
Yeah, I do. And I like to, I'll like favorite things. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, there's something about like, I just feel good about like having a favorite item and like okay. going back and looking at it. And then, yeah, having something that I'm searching for. It's like a mission, like to find right. a specific thing. And then you find it and it feels good. And then it's like, okay, well, what's the next thing?
Okay. All right. So that's, yeah, that's the problem.
Yeah. And I don't think I'm alone in this. I mean, I hope not, listeners. No, no. Let us know what issues you've had around consuming, spending, maybe unnecessarily.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
Because, yeah, how, like, I think the ultimate question, like, I'm trying to answer, which I don't think I'll have a solid answer for, is how do we not get caught up living in the capitalist society that we do? How do we not get caught up in over-consuming and consuming unnecessarily?
Yeah. Yeah,
Because I don't want to, like, support it. I don't want to, but, I mean, I have to. Like, we as humans, like, we have to consume things
right.
to survive. Even if you live in the woods, you have to consume. But it's, yeah, it's finding like an appropriate level
right.
for ourselves.
Mm. Yeah. And I think, you know, some of that is about, you know, deciding what the values are and what, you know, as mm-hmm. we talk about a lot, what are the things that are important to you and, you know, trying to really stick to that, even when it's hard to be like, okay, I'm not going to buy from this shop.
Mm-hmm.
But as we've talked about in other episodes, that's not something that's easy.
Mm-mm.
For sure.
I think that it can be appropriate at times to set those like hard limits.
Mm-hmm.
Which I've definitely done in the past. Like I've done like no spend months
mm-hmm.
and got really strict with it. Like I was very fortunate. I mean, I lived near the beach, so in the walking distance, so I'd walk to the beach. I'd stop by my local library and like rent a DVD back when I had a computer mm-hmm. I could play it. And those were my weekends for a while.
Yeah.
But and it was fine for the timing. I was trying to like jumpstart my like debt repayment and savings.
Right.
But I do, I find enjoyment in buying things and going out to restaurants, travel.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think it's, you made a good point about like values. And I think that's definitely part of the recalibration is, yeah. What are my values? What do I want to spend my time and money mm-hmm. on that I know my future self will thank me for?
Right.
Not just my 5 minutes from now, so
yeah it's definitely a gray area. I just feel both on an individual, like what are your values, what things are you compromising by consuming, what things are you fulfilling, you know, what's the best way? And then on a larger scale of like equity, who's making your clothing?
Mm-hmm. I think knowledge,
recognizing privilege, or also not, you know, obviously I'm feel like in my life right now I'm talking from a space of privilege, but of course even in, you know, Western countries and in the UK and the States and Spain, there are people who, you know, have to purchase the cheapest clothing because mm-hmm. that is the only thing that's available.
Yeah. And I think buying out of need, I think, yeah, that's definitely right. a separate thing. Oh, we're getting our 10-minute Zoom warning. So we'll try and wrap this up in the next few minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think.
Right. Needs versus wants.
Needs versus wants. Cause I'm not overspending on needs. I'm overspending on wants.
Yeah.
And things that I don't need.
Yeah.
So I think even just having this conversation and like saying it out loud.
Yeah, I feel like a no spend November might be coming up.
See, like I hear things like that,
and you're like, "Oof."
Yeah.
Tell me what you feel.
I feel resistance to that. I think it's
okay.
I know Gretchen Rubin has these like four tendencies. This really good book. Mm-hmm. I'll link it in the show notes. And I'm sometimes a questioner and sometimes a rebel. So like I said, not like when I'm unsure about something, knowledge, looking up like the why behind okay. things can help me determine or change my habits. And then other times I tend to rebel. Like if I set too strict limits on myself,
mm-hmm.
I will rebel against that for the sole reason that like there is a limit in place. So
yeah, I to be fair, I'm saying that, but I think the most effective one I've done, not maybe not so much with clothing, but just when I've wanted to bring spending down, was actually I think I've talked about her before, Emma from the Broke Generation. She suggests, she's like, oh, like she'd rather have 1 week out of the month where she spends nothing and puts that to savings, or spends very little, whatever she sets for herself, and then kind of live normally the other 3 weeks than to try and like reduce all 4 weeks.
Yeah. I like that.
Into like spending slightly less.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe that's like
I mean, I think any ground. Sort of limitation, no spend day, week, month, people mm-hmm. do whole years, like that, that's great.
Yeah, no.
If you go into it acknowledging that it's like a short-term thing and that that's not going to be your new standard, because that can be unrealistic for a lot mm-hmm. of people. I think I find that when the more I know and am aware of like my financial situation, then the less likely I am to just overspend or spend without thinking. Right. Because if like I don't really know what's going on with my bank account, I don't know why that is. It's just easier to just spend because mm-hmm. oh, like I out of sight, out of mind kind of thing.
Yeah.
But the more I know, the more I go into my spreadsheet and update it and see like how quickly right. I could accomplish, you know, certain savings goals. If I don't overspend this month, overspend, just buy things on top of the necessities. So I think I've started doing that, and I think that's contributed to coming out of this.
Right. Okay. You kind of got a hold of it.
Yeah.
So what would you say if, you know, someone else was looking to take action? Someone else who has the same problem?
I think it would depend on their exact situation, but, and we can we'll leave links and mm-hmm. maybe even more like bullet points on like specific action items. We can start including those a bit more in the show notes. Because those are easy ways to look up how to, you know, what's the one I really liked that I used to hear all the time, put like your credit card in a glass of water and put it in the freezer. Like that's a barrier. That's a limitation you could set.
All right.
There are other tips and tricks like that, but I jotted down some questions that maybe listeners could ask themselves.
Yeah.
Mindset that changes, you know, switching your mindset, tweaking it. I think that can have longer
mm-hmm.
lasting impacts. So questions to ask yourself: why do you consume the way you do? What brings you joy? Where can you shift your focus? How can you create more than you consume? Yeah, we talked about that. Mm-hmm. When was the last time you took a walk or just went outside just because? I think there's a whole other potential for an episode about getting out in nature. And I think that that's definitely a way to combat over-consuming, because you see, especially in terms of, you know, sustainability, trying to live more environmentally friendly, it like puts kind of the why right in front of your face. Like, okay, this is mm-hmm. why I want to have less of an impact on the planet, because, you know, parks are beautiful, oceans are beautiful. Like, let's keep them. Let's not destroy our environment. So those are my final thoughts. What about you? What would you say to?
Those questions are really good. I think there's an element of being very honest with ourselves mm-hmm. about what things are needs and what things are wants.
Yes. The Minimalists have a great article on that. I will link that.
Yeah. And I'm definitely not very good at that, but I think it can be easy to think or want to think that our needs are greater than they are.
Yes.
Oh, or the other way. I mean, I guess, but for me anyway, it's easy to think that my needs are greater than they are.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, when we realize how much of what we own are just wants, maybe that can help put it into perspective. Mm-hmm. And that will, of course, vary for everyone depending on the life that they lead and the responsibilities they have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well said. There's something else, a quote I had jotted down that I told myself almost daily when I was getting out of debt. And I think there's a bit of caveat that assuming that you do have everything you need, which we have for this conversation, is that you have enough. You are enough. Like in an empty room, you are complete. I think I'm stealing that quote from someone. I don't remember who. And I would tell myself that because, you know, I feel like in general, I feel like mantras, they feel silly telling yourself, whether it's in a mirror or in your head. But that one, I like made myself do on my like morning walks to work, back when I walked to work in LA. Nice. And yeah, you have enough. You are enough. You are complete in an empty room. That part of it.
Yeah, it's true. Wow.
That might be the minimalist. I can't remember if I remember who I stole that from.
Yeah.
So yeah, something to sit with, to ponder. And yeah, we'll leave links to more specific, I guess, action things with barriers and budget spreadsheets maybe, and deleting apps, unsubscribing, stuff like that can definitely be helpful. Mm-hmm. So I think those alongside with like the mindset piece and those questions.
Yeah.
So yeah, let us know, listener, if this was helpful. And yeah, I think we'll do a future episode on like specific companies, you know, like the Primark one. I like that one. I think that one has actually brought us like search traffic because people want to know, you know, how sustainable certain brands are. So yeah, future episode ideas.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Like Amazon, Shein, those could be good future episodes to examine.
Yeah.
Yeah. So let us know what you thought about this episode on our Instagram at the T on Sustainable Living. You can leave us a voice note at the T on sustainableliving.com/contact. And we might feature in a future episode. Kelly, talking to you. Still waiting on your voice note to feature.
All right.
Well, computer. That's it. You can press stop now. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Tea on Sustainable Living podcast.
Now, go share it with a friend,
a coworker,
a partner,
a family member,
or whoever.
A pet? Your cat?
Someone on the street? Whoever you think could use a little more support on their sustainability journey, share it.
You can send them over to our website, theteonsustainableliving.com. And while you're there, check out the show notes for more info on today's topic.
All right, give a shudders. To you later. Get it? To you later, as in see you later? So funny.
Brandy.